What's up, everybody? Welcome to Monday, February 4th for the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show. I'm here with none other than Megan. What's up?
What's up, y'all?
Megan, my old friend from IGN. We worked together forever, basically.
Forever, like over a decade.
Here we are on the outside of the walls now. So
that's right. It's come full circle.
Exactly. I'm excited to do the show. I love shirt and the full out. It's fantastic.
Okay, so this is, for those who don't know, this is Bullet Club, New Japan's wrestling faction, plus Pac-Man. It's kind of hard to see, but it's Pac-Man and wrestling combined.
Just I love it.
Yeah. I thought it was neat.
I didn't even ask before the show, but I love the shirt.
I got this at the opening of G1. That was New Japan's event here in San Francisco back in July.
Dang.
Yeah.
Well,
so
for all your fashion tips, head over to Megan. _IGN is your Twitter?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so first let's get to a little bit of housekeeping and the plugs. You can always catch us, of course, live on Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. But more importantly, if we get anything wrong today, and trust me, I will, I need your help, correct us at kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. You can watch us later on youtube.com/KindaFunnyGames and listen later on podcast services around the globe. But more importantly, you can support us. Head over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, and you can also be a part of the show there and submit some of your questions. A little housekeeping. Kind of Funny has announced the up-and-coming Kind of Funny Best Friends. Those of you who are content creators, we're looking for the community to send in your picks. You can send that in to kindoffunny.com/up-and-comer for a chance at working out here for a week, getting the full suite of training here.
That is really cool. Yeah. Get on that, you guys. I know you're very creative. I've seen some of your stuff.
I mean, Megan, you've been through the ringer at IGN. There's like a lot of little things in terms of reporting and producing and everything, right?
Oh yeah, there's lots of channels to be super creative. So, I mean, doing that on Kind of Funny for a week, that's big.
It's exciting. So again, make sure to head over to kindoffunny.com/up-and-comer for the chance at working out here for a week. Special thanks to our big additional support from the Patreon producers, Trevor Starkey, David Mintel, Panzer, and Jeremy Golden. Thank you. Woo! That's it. I love the energy, Kevin. We're bringing it today. Also brought to the show is brought to us today by Brooklinen and Headspace, but I'll talk more about our sponsors later. Now, of course, it is time to get into what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. Bringing that 70s club vibe. All right, we got four stories. So,
oh, Baker's dozen! Oh,
I always forget that.
No, you're fine. You did fine. I have to yell.
This is my second time in the hosting chair, so, you know, kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. All right, so let's start with what everybody has been talking about this week. Mm-hmm. I'm sure everybody in chat's already talking about it.
Yes.
Play Apex. You can actually head over on Twitch, but don't leave the show. But you can leave it open on the side. They are streaming gameplay footage from what is Respawn's new Battle Royale game.
What?
I am limited from talking about it because I've actually seen it and played it on behalf of Kind of Funny.
He got to play it, lucky dog.
Yeah, so I can't tell you more than
Friend EA.
Here's the scoop, everybody.
Yeah!
I can't tell you, but it will be very soon at noon. They are doing, I think, the full reveal. But it's pretty exciting. A Battle Royale game from, you know, really what the team at Respawn has roots in Modern Warfare. Obviously, Titanfall 1 and 2. So it's called Apex Legends. You'll notice that Titanfall is not in the name.
Right.
But Megan, did you ever get into the Titanfall games or Modern Warfare? Are you into shooters at all?
I mean, I'm into shooters. Those particular ones I didn't play a lot of, but I'm interested in this. I like Battle Royale games. Yeah. I like Fortnite.
Like Fortnite.
I do.
Fortnite.
I hide in the bushes and then I win entire games that way. I just hide.
You just hide in the
bushes. I hide in the bushes. That's what I do. That's how I win Fortnite Battle Royale, y'all.
Yeah, I don't think that works anymore, by the way. So
I don't know. Yeah. I think that's a challenge. I'm gonna try it when I get home.
It is. Okay, you can go hide in the bushes. But I'm really excited about this announcement. There have been a lot of Battle Royale games out there.
Yeah, there's a few.
But what I would say is studios the caliber of folks like Respawn, who are now part of, you know, EA, but bring an amazing pedigree. Blackout was one of the first big AAA titles. Love it or hate it, same as Fortnite. So again, I'm excited to see and show you what they've brought to the table without really saying too much. But I think it's going to be a big announcement. And just stay tuned, because by the time you watch this, it'll be live.
It looks very different from Fortnite. Let's just put it that way. But it looks very cool.
Yeah, they've been
little.
They've been showing the world footage, and if you keep an eye on it, you'll actually see some like legends show up. Those are like the heroes. So from that, I'm getting kind of like an Overwatch vibe almost. But meanwhile, the world looks, it's like the Titanfall world, it looks like.
Right.
So as much as I can really say on that one.
Am I allowed to ask if it's in this same universe?
I mean, I don't know that they've confirmed nor denied any of that. It looks like it.
Okay. I thought I read a rumor about that, so maybe they'll reveal more.
I think
later.
There has been rumors about all that stuff.
Interesting. Well, we'll find out.
The answer.
Of course I know the answer.
He knows you notice I'm trying to
fish. I mean, I got to talk to the developer, so I got to, that's actually where it's tough to report on. There's been a ton of rumors over the weekend of what's going to happen, but look, we're an hour or so away from it, so get excited.
But I want to know now.
I definitely am, so.
Can you talk about if you liked it or not?
You know what? I did see people saying that they thought it was good. Now, I don't think we're supposed to say that, but I don't think they're going to be upset that, yeah, I was impressed.
So you're saying you thought it was good.
Here's what I will say. I was impressed.
The story was great. Is that with what
I was impressed with what I saw, and I'm really excited for people to see it. But there are a lot of questions to be answered, like any Battle Royale game. And we also have seen games go into beta. Like, we're going to talk a little bit about, I think in Reader Mail, we had a question about the Anthem beta.
I got thoughts.
Yeah, but you see what can happen when you launch a big game live. So,
If I'm a person that likes being in a robot,
yeah,
is this something I'm going to enjoy?
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
We all saw the way you say that, though, so that's good.
Did I do that? It was in my eyes.
Yeah, what's the mustache? Just so thin.
The mustache?
I'm like trying to peer. I'm trying to like side-eye and Fran, like, trying to figure
but
out.
But I'm pretty excited about it. I'm trying to keep an eye on, by the way, occasionally on Twitch chat. Yeah, we're calling it a Fran-D-A, they're saying. Shabe Raven in chat is calling it a Fran-D-A. I like it. Okay, let's move on to our next story. Microsoft, this one, honestly, I read the headline, Megan. Microsoft expanding Xbox Live to Switch, iOS, and Android by Oscar Deis over at GameSpot. When I read that, I was like, is this April Fool's yet?
I was like, what?
Yeah.
What's it doing on Switch?
Wait, so, what?
Yeah, yeah. So there's more. Let me read through
Malarkey.
This. This comes way of some GDC news that's kind of getting out there. But again, Microsoft expanding Xbox Live to platforms like Switch, iOS, and Android. There's more to be confirmed here, though. This story, again, from GameSpot, Oscar Deis. Mm-hmm. Microsoft plans to expand Xbox Live to other platforms, including Nintendo Switch and mobile. The company says bringing the network to more consoles will, quote, enable game developers to connect players between iOS, Android, and Switch, in addition to Xbox and any game in the Microsoft Store on Windows PCs. The move was teased in a description for an upcoming session at GDC, where the plans will presumably be revealed in more detail. The session is titled Xbox Live, Growing and Engaging Your Community Across iOS, Android, Switch, Xbox, and PC. And it will include details on the expansion, which Microsoft says will take Xbox Live to, quote, over 2 billion devices with the release of our new cross-platform Xbox development kit. The description continues, quote, Xbox Live players are highly engaged and active on Xbox and PC, but now they can take their gaming achievement history, their friends list, their clubs, and more with them to almost every screen, end quote. Further details are scant at the present, but we'll learn more during GDC, which takes place from March 18th to 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
Before I go on this, what do you think this means? How do you read into this so far?
I'm trying to figure it out because I had the same reaction you did, which was, what is Xbox Live doing on my Switch? But I think it's just to get Xbox more visible on other platforms. Like, look at these cool trophies. Look at these cool games I'm playing. It's kind of like a way to advertise it. And because there is crossplay with things like I brought up earlier, Fortnite, maybe it's a way of sort of luring people into the Xbox community.
Yeah, I mean, so again, I'm watching in Twitch chat if you all have any thoughts. When I read it, obviously, it's very obvious. That PlayStation, I know, very redundant. PlayStation is missing from that list. But you like that, Kevin?
I did.
But PlayStation's missing from the list, of course. We would expect that. But Nintendo Switch being on there is kind of what threw me for the loop. So it seems like they are perhaps in talking in partnership with Nintendo about what they can do there and opening up that platform, iOS and Android. But, PlayStation's not going to do that. But Nintendo's open to it, seemingly. You know, again, we don't know all the details. But here's what I think. Yeah, looks like it's kind of like, call it, I don't know if it is like, say, the Netflix of streaming service type approaches. But I think It has something to do with moving towards, if you remember, xCloud is their next generation cloud platform.
Right, right.
I'm not saying that's what's going to like come out of the gate, but I think this development kit is meant to, probably on a web service or cloud service, unite what you already have on Xbox and just bring, imagine that store showing up in the same way that the Epic store shows up on your PC if you download that client,
right,
that you'll be able to kind of take some of that to those devices. I'm a little skeptical on the concept of like all the clubs and friends lists and, you know, with Nintendo Switch in particular, like it's hard for me to imagine you have your friends list up with Switch, but then you have this other app open and all these other friends stuff. So I don't know how it's going to work. But
yeah, I'm not sure what that is.
What's
I think
the
it's a
point?
Good
point. I don't get it. Why do we want this?
Calm what? Down, Kevin. We'll
if
we'll
I can
find
play
out.
Sea of Thieves on Nintendo Switch,
right? Yeah, that. But like, that's not what they're saying right now, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, right, it looks
so like I feel like you're jumping a couple steps there.
I am. It's the service, by the way.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, you know, I think
it's the setup. I get that.
Yeah. So yeah. So in chat, obviously, what I was thinking, not the Lysander at work says, "Give me Ori on Switch." So that's where I'm definitely confused and don't know how to read into this yet. I don't know if it really means that Xbox is bringing some of their exclusive games to these platforms so much as the services of this back end and allowing you to do some of this stuff, you know, your friends list, your achievements and stuff.
Right.
Like
I think it's a step in the right direction, though. I mean, going towards the future, I think there's going to be a lot more crossplay across platforms. If Sony will get on board just a little bit
yeah,
more.
Yeah, I mean,
just
they all
a little
met,
bit more.
They met on stage at the awards last year.
It was a cool moment.
The Game Awards. It was a cool moment. The little like handshake that I think we'll look back on someday and be like, all right. It hopefully has all transpired, you know, 5-7 years from now or whatever it's going to take. I know I'm not optimistic that we're going to turn our heads and it'll be like cross-platform by, you know, next year.
I don't know. Hope springs eternal, at least for me. What do you guys think? Let us know in the chat.
Exactly.
I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at the chat.
Oh, good. You have it up too. Yeah, I like including Twitch chat as much.
Oh, thank you, Ant-Man. He's saying that he likes my shirt. This is the, like I said, the Bullet Club Pac-Man shirt. I don't know if you guys can see the back.
Wait, we're getting a full shirt tour. I love this.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
It's got, like, the whole
it's nice.
Pac-Man theme. There
okay.
You go.
Let's move on to our next story. I found this one pretty interesting because I know Michael Condrey a little bit. Over the many years, this is a man who's been at Activision with Call of Duty, and then he was at Visceral with Dead Space and moved on to Sledgehammer with more Call of Duty. Michael Condrey is going to head up a 2K studio. The story comes way of Dean Takahashi. You might remember last year as well that Glenn Schofield had departed Sledgehammer. He's part of Activision, and it's separate, but those two, Michael Condrey and Glenn, were the heads of, you know, Sledgehammer, which had done the Advanced Warfare for Call of Duty. So Michael brings a ton of experience, and here's what the story says. Michael Condrey, a veteran of games like Call of Duty and Dead Space, is starting a new studio for Take-Two Interactive's 2K division in Silicon Valley. That's why I wanted to give some context here. He will build an outpost that will work on an unannounced project. Nabbing Condrey, who left Sledgehammer and the Activision family last year, is a coup for 2K because very few people have built a 300-person game studio to make AAA games that have gone on to sell $1 billion in revenue for years, such as Call of Duty games have done. Quote, there's a quote coming in from Condrey. He said, "Great games come from the passion of a team by the pursuit of quality and the empowerment of an independent studio model." Continuing on, Condrey said, 2K Studios have creative and technical autonomy backed by a world-class infrastructure of support, and that offers the perfect recipe to build a new studio and craft experiences that will lead the next generation of gaming for fans everywhere. So before I continue on in this, you know, I think we're seeing some similar vibes to Respawn became part of EA, right? They
right.
left Infinity Ward, some of those people. It's a little different, but probably going to bring some of the people that he knows very well to this new studio. Maybe he'll poach people from Sledgehammer. I don't know
this is, oh my gosh, that'd be amazing. This is going to be exciting. What do you think it is? What do you think their new project's going to be?
Oh, okay. I would have no idea. I think it'll be original IP for starters.
Okay.
I think that, you know, I'm reading a little bit into this technical autonomy. Michael Condrey probably said, look, if I'm going to start a studio, I want to do something new and original. Maybe going back to those vibes of they got to do Dead Space. And I know that that was just a big achievement for them in that studio. They got to bring this new survival horror IP to the world, which, you know, I think we now love and
right.
would love to see again someday. So we're not going to see that from them, But they, I mean, technically anything in the 2K stable they can do. So I didn't go through the list of what that could be. Maybe you have some ideas in chat, but
let me check chat.
Someone like Michael has a ton of experience. Again, he was at Sledgehammer. He's worked with Activision forever. This is someone who knows how to find the right talent. So as long as they're willing to continue to pay for the talent and bring them over, I think it could be pretty exciting. I mean, they'll be working seemingly next door to Sledgehammer, which is an interesting concept. I mean, they'll be in the Silicon Valley area. I don't know where they're right. going to be.
I thought you meant like across the street, just glaring at each other. Like,
yeah, no, I don't think it's going to be like a standoff
so
from
awkward.
Office. It'll be like a Kentucky feud, basically. What is it? The McCoys and the...
Yeah, the real McCoys and... Oh, shoot.
Man, I should know this.
I should, too.
I lived
something,
in...
Something Sam Hill is going on around here. That's all I can remember right
what
now.
What in Sam Hill?
What in Sam Hill?
But anyway, so pretty exciting story. Let's continue on with a few more details that came from Dean. Condry was the co-founder of Sledgehammer Games, which, again, as we talked about, made Advanced Warfare in 2014, also made Call of Duty World War II in 2017. He co-founded Sledgehammer in 2009. I mean, you can believe it's
wow.
been almost 10 years here with Glenn Schofield to create the third major studio in Activision's fold of Call of Duty Studios. You know, the other ones, of course, are Treyarch and Infinity Ward. The company immediately went to work on Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 before it began its three-year cycle of working on the Call of Duty games alongside Treyarch and Infinity Ward. So this quote comes from 2K. This is David Ismailer, who's the president of 2K. And David said, "At 2K, we offer our collective audience a variety of engaging and captivating entertainment experiences. We continually seek opportunities to empower and invest in the right people and the right ideas." Continuing on, he said, "Michael's unparalleled creative production and leadership accolades are well documented and deserved. We are greatly inspired not only by his passion, but the potential for his new studio to complement our existing portfolio and development expertise. We welcome Michael to the 2K family and look forward to seeing our new Silicon Valley studio flourish in the months to come." And regarding 2K, Condry had said, "David and the dedicated people at 2K and Take-Two have an extensive history of rich and established brands, as well as a long tenure of executive leadership committed to supporting the ambitions of their independent studio teams. Today's announcement represents a rare and special opportunity for developers to help build and shape a new Silicon Valley studio from the ground up. I couldn't be more excited and thankful to embark on this next step in my career." 2K's new, this is no longer a quote, 2K's new Silicon Valley studio, with an official name to be announced, will join the stable of wholly owned development teams, including Visual Concepts, Firaxis Games, Hangar 13, and Cat Daddy Games. Take-Two, the parent company, also owns Rockstar, the creator of Red Dead 2 and GTA 5. Never heard of those.
Yeah, what's a Red Dead? I don't know.
Exactly. So, you know, again, I sort of reflect on this, and that's, I think it would be a new IP more than anything. I think that if 2K is going to go through all of this trouble, that they need their own new, for lack of a better way to put it, Red Dead or Dead Space or whatever it's
going
to
be. Yeah, something big.
Yeah. I mean, do you have any theories? You asked me before. I mean, I wouldn't know where to start with. Like, I would start with this. Do you think it's going to be a shooter because of his experience? But again, remember that he's developed Dead Space.
Dead Space,
and,
yeah.
And he was at Activision forever. He knows a lot of different games.
Yeah, he does. I strongly suspect it will be action-based, possibly a shooter. I'm just trying to think what other genre. I bet you it'll be partly cross genre, something kind mm-hmm. of slightly experimental, something outside of the box.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Outside the box predictions.
I'm gonna make an outside the box.
You should write press releases. I like this. Today, 2K announced a slightly outside the box action oriented experimental RPG.
It's kind of
from
action.
The creators. I'm making that part up.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in.
That was really good though.
It's not bad.
That was
good. We should write press releases.
We should. That should be something we do on the side.
For everyone. But no, I actually don't think it needs to be on that nose of he did a lot of shooters and therefore it's going to be a shooter. I actually think it really depends on the team that they put together. But I think he's clearly got a vision already.
He's going to do a JRPG. There it is.
That's what
he's going to do.
Gonna
a Kingdom Hearts spinoff.
Oh my goodness. I love the theories. But yeah, so I do think it's going to be something wholly original and new. That would be my first guess. But I know that when he sat down at the table with 2K, it's very unlikely that they said, "Look, can you just build a studio and let's figure out later what you want to make?
Yeah.
I'm sure he brought to the table
something original.
Like several ideas, and who knows what that is, but I'm pretty excited. Yeah. Excited to see what that is.
I don't think they want to do like a clone of something they've already done. Instead of Dead Space, it's like, you know, dead
living
air.
Space.
Yeah, limited space.
Who knows? But I'm pretty excited to see what he has to offer. And again, I think this is a big move for 2K. It's a big move for him. So it's not, we hear announcements like this a lot, that there's a new mm-hmm. studio or a new thing happening out there. But this is a big investment. I can't imagine how much this costs, but there's a new studio location. The fact that he didn't have to like go inside some other office. This is a big deal. Again,
it's a huge
similar
deal,
to Respawn,
yeah.
who's down, I think, by Burbank and everything. So Kevin's looking at me.
I would be down for a Dead Space clone.
You just want a Dead Space clone.
Yeah,
just be like, screw it.
Yeah.
You don't want anything original.
No. I miss Dead Space 1 and 2.
I agree with you. I mean, you bring up an interesting point, though, Kevin. Like, I'm talking about...
Just give me that space.
I'm talking about Respawn, and it's not that they made a clone of Modern Warfare, but they sure as heck brought a lot of that experience into Titanfall, and they gave it a twist. I mean, that would honestly be unexpected for them to say, Conjury's like, you know what? I've been wanting to redo Dead Space and whatever. You guys do it. But now I'm going to put together the team. I'm going to put this little twist on it. Maybe it's a games as a service, Dead Space, Royale.
It's a farming
keyword,
simulator.
Keyword, buzzword. No, I lost you there. Just stick with the like normal formula, Kevin. Don't screw it up. He's shaking his, yeah, don't screw it up. Do anything like
I
that.
I want it to be Stardew Valley, but with like a Dead Space twist.
Yes, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Stardew Valley with a Dead Space. That's
yeah.
That's horrifying. Is it animated? Like, look, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I think it should be.
Look?
It just looks really cute, but it's actually really disturbing.
Yeah. Parker Petroff in the Twitch chat says, clearly, they're bringing back NFL 2K. Well, remember that they have Visceral. Is still part of the studio.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So Visceral's
still
out there.
That's actually not a bad guess.
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen, but... But they already have Visceral, who I think works on NBA 2K stuff now with the team. So.
Did you watch the sports games over the weekend? You watch?
I'm not a Super Bowl guy. I was playing the Anthem demo all weekend.
I was trying.
You were having trouble? So there's a question later.
Okay.
So we'll
save that.
We'll
save
the Anthem commentary.
Yes.
But the open demo was this weekend, which was pretty exciting.
Yes.
We're getting another shout out to NFL 2K from Ant-Man in chat. All right, let's move on. To the next story, which I'm pretty excited about. It's a little bit of a preview, but there's a story in here that I kind of pulled
I'm
out.
I'm excited about this one.
Division 2.
Yes.
The embargo is up today. Folks even hear it kind of funny.
Yes.
Had got to go check it out. I don't think anybody in the office got to do it, right?
I'm so
nope.
jealous.
No. See, we gotta hold down the fort, right?
It was just Greg. You want to call him?
It's just Greg. We should just
do
call
it.
Call
we both
Greg.
Have our phones.
He loves that
can
sort
I?
Of thing. He's probably watching right now.
Can we call
him.
Greg?
Yeah.
Okay, let me try
I don't
to call
know how phones
Greg.
Work in Canada, but...
I'm gonna...
He's probably gonna be so mad. He's like, I'm on vacation.
I love
me
this,
alone.
Kevin. I forgot he always does this to me, so let's see if he answers.
I really hope this works. I really hope this works.
Let's see. Greg, you better answer. You sure he played?
So it's up? It's up, right? No,
yeah, it's
right?
up. He'll know.
Hold on.
Hello?
Greg Miller, it's Fran Mirabella on Kind of Funny Games Daily. How you doing?
I'm good, Fran. How are you?
I'm pretty well. You got a second, Greg?
Of course, anything for you.
Okay, so I'm here with Megan, and there's a Division... Yeah, he says hello.
What's up?
So the Division 2
oh,
embargo's up
too.
Today. Kevin's here, Barrett's here. We all miss you. So Division 2 embargo's up today, and we realized nobody in the office played it, but you played it, right, Greg?
You got dang right, I did.
Okay, so I'm about to read through this story by way of GameSpot, but I knew you played it, so I thought I'd check in with you. Their headline is, Division 2 has a big surprise for the endgame. I don't know if that context makes sense, but in general, Greg... I know you're a big Division fan. Where
right.
General thoughts, where are you at with it right now?
Can't wait. It's more Division. It's exactly what I want. A new setting, new things to go get. You know how much fun we had playing.
Oh, my God. The Dark Zone.
I love it.
Vibes running around playing around this. I didn't even get into the Dark Zone on this, right? But what they did is they let us play from the beginning of the game. So we got into the early content, ran around. Got to, you know, run out into your new HQ. Did you read the whole thing?
No.
You haven't even read the article yet? Oh my gosh, you got to read the article and see everything that's in there. But like, it feels more vertical, more lived in terms of the world you're running around in. The endgame stuff they're talking about is something we had kind of known about, right? Or
yeah.
At least I think they're talking about with the ability to like take your different classes. Like when you get there, like okay, cool, now you're like the destructor. You have like the grenade launcher. You have the sniper rifle. You have specializations that you're not locked into. You can't switch between.
Nice. So would you say it feels different than the improvements and stuff that they've made with the past games? Like, does it feel different or just more like just more polished division so far?
It feels more like it feels more polished division. It was one of those things. I actually got there late because of games daily, mm-hmm. so I missed the intro. Jumped right on the sticks, and it totally felt natural and normal to me. Like, okay. I was just running through playing. I understood what I was doing. You know, I was into my menu, selecting if I wanted to have my drone to toss out or if I wanted my little, you know, like, turret that we all use and stuff like that. It felt familiar, but it felt polished, and it did feel fluid. You know what I mean? Like, it did feel like it was moving. I didn't run into, you know how sometimes you get those lengthy loads trying to walk into HQs
right outside. Oh my God, yeah.
And like, wait. I didn't run into that. Now, granted, test servers and small things like that, but
exactly. We kind
of
got
definitely more of what I wanted. You know what I mean? And then the other, you know, the big thing they talked about for end game content was the fact that, you know, how like they had over the years patched in all the stuff to Division 2 to the original Division, right? To give you like, hey, here's this, you know, here's that survival mode, and here's more mm-hmm. of this stuff, and here's better clans. They made a big deal, and I think it is a good move that like all that's there from day one. So like when you get this game, you're gonna have so much content to run through and do. Like they call it a smorgasbord.
A smorgasbord. I love that. Yeah, that's what I'm excited about. Is they have been evolving this for years now. This is a full sequel, and I think it's just gonna have so much content. So. You know, I'm excited to play and get out there.
Remember, you're playing with me on PlayStation 4.
Definitely.
You're not playing. You're not screwing me.
Kevin says that him.
PC garbage yet.
Don't give me that. How dare you slander the PC, good sir. All right, well, I'm sorry to bother you on your vacation, but one more important question. Have you got any poutine up there yet?
Yeah.
Oh, you know I got poutine up here. Come on now. Come on. You can check the stories on the Instagram. You'll be seeing that poutine.
Check.
I was running through while you were talking. I was looking at my inbox to make sure I didn't screw anything up. Or I don't see any embargo notes. So I think I'm okay to say.
Oh, no.
Well, maybe I shouldn't. No, read the GameSpot article and see. Or, you know, hold on. I can do this. Hold
wait, tell me. Should I put you off speakerphone and you tell me what you're going to say?
No, well, I mean, I can. We can just. I mean, it's, okay. It's our show, right? So you just hold on 1 second.
Greg's checking embargoes. Is this something in the Division 2 that you're wondering if you can talk about?
Yes, exactly. And it turns out, no, on August 3rd, someone confirmed the base of operations is the White House. It was so cool to run through the White House.
Oh, like, so that's confirmed.
Yeah, that's going to be your base operations where you build out, like, all your stuff. And, you know, you come back and you invest in the different parts of it to build it back up and stuff. It's awesome.
Wow.
That's awesome.
I had no idea that's what it was. That's why at the preview event, they set that whole setup to look like the podium at the White House and all that, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We were driving home with that and that. And then, yeah, so this is another thing that they did there when we went downstairs for it. The endgame stuff, right? So we already talked about there being, you know, your class specification. That's cool.
Yeah.
We talked about everything being there from day one. That's cool. The other big surprise that I think this GameSpot article is referencing but I haven't read yet is the fact of once you get to the endgame, they introduce a whole new class of bad guys. So, like, there's another faction comes in that's, like, the elite fighting force that has all this technology, like, all these crazy drones and crazy robots and stuff like that. And not only is it now give you endgame missions, it also affects the open world. So, suddenly, they're out there in the open world to screw with you, so you can't just run around and be, like, bored by everybody.
Really?
Wow.
Wait, so do you have one more second, then, if I just read this quote alongside you?
Sure.
So, they say, one of the biggest things for Division 2 is the importance of the endgame and our focus on it, said the creative director Julian Garrity. Continuing.
That's a friend of
mine. Nice. So continuing.
When I say big, I mean he's actually really small. Like I can pick him up really easy, but I like
but you like Julian. That's good. So Julian went on and continued to say, we launched Division 1 with very little in terms of endgame content. It was a great campaign. You reach level 30. The endgame started, but it was lacking in activities. We were trying to operate this live game, yet we saw things that weren't working out for the long term. That is why a very tough decision was made before patch 1.4, which was to stop the development on all planned features in the DLC to be able to focus on the technological debt and on the improvements to get the game to where we wanted it to be. That all fed into how we've set up Division 2 production-wise and creatively. So, I mean, it sounds like they sort of rebuilt some of the tech for the endgame. Did you get to see much of that yet?
Not really. Like what I said, because I had to run off to do something else afterwards because we're so busy. But it was that, from what I saw, it's what I already knew from the Division, just running better, looking better.
Okay. And just so I have it right again, you said when you get to the endgame, there's actually like new enemies.
Right.
Okay. Megan, did you have something that you were going to say?
No, I'm just really
she's like,
happy
she's
to hear
she's
this.
Shocked. You should see her face, Greg.
Yeah.
All right, man. I don't want to spoil your vacation because you deserve the time off, buddy. Have a good one and enjoy some poutine for me. All right.
I will.
Bye, Greg.
Bye, Greg.
That was very nice, Greg. Good call, Kevin. Glad we got him on the phone. So, yeah, I'm very excited about Division II. It was one of my top five most anticipated games. We talked about it on the Gamescast a while back. Megan, have you been much of a Division player?
I'm a big Division player, actually. I think it surprises people. So that's why I was making all these shocked faces. It's like, what? New enemies? White House.
It was like Winona Ryder at the, was it the Emmys? Well, remember when she was like that's what you looked like right there. But so, I mean, you don't know much about what's to come, right? But based on what you've
seen.
Just
what I just heard, yeah. I'm very excited.
Yeah, I mean, what was the biggest? Did you have any sticking points with where the Division has been lately, or you know, things that you were looking for to improve more than anything?
No, I'm kind of with Greg. I just a more polished Division is all right by me. Mm-hmm. You know, big end game content. That's something to look forward to.
I, as many people know, I play so much Destiny. I've just got into Anthem. It is the end game is so important in terms of the community that I believe really sustains the franchise. It's not that you can't sell to the masses. I think that's what happens with these games. You get people that come in, they play for 50, 60 hours, and they're reasonably happy. But there's this ravenous community that needs the grind.
Right.
And the way that you do that, that's the people that talk it up and the friends of the friends of the friends that go on to talk to each other about, you've got to play this, you know. So when Division 1 launched, it was lacking in that content. There was a bunch of bullet sponges. There wasn't a lot to do. So like Greg brings up, like, wait, there's different enemies that appear end game. Super smart move on that front. But just like the weapon variety and like modding and crafting stuff, I think that's going to be, you know, super important to see like where it's gone.
Right. It was very RPG in the best way possible. RPG, that's not a word.
It's our, yeah.
But it had all those like stats and mods and all sorts of skill trees and stuff like that you could
into. But the fact that they really understand the end game and are focused on that, they weren't shy about talking about it. I think it's important to get that news out. So
yeah.
I'm pretty excited about this. So yeah, that's most of the news for today so far, unless anything else comes up. Megan, I forgot to cue you up for this next part. So if you can scroll down to the big underline of the game releases, you got that
yes,
in front of you.
Yes, out today.
So you're going to read that whole line. And I know you've done voice work, so you're going to nail this.
All right. Am I starting with the official list? Or
yes.
Okay, so.
So it is time for Megan. Give it to us.
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday. Out today, Etrian Odyssey 3DS.
There's supposed to be music that you do.
Oh, I forgot what I did last week.
Just make any sort of musical sound.
I have to?
Yes.
Fine, let's try it again, Megan.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Do you want to start
All right,
from
Megan,
top?
It's that time of the show where we talk about what's coming up. Lay it on us.
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games daily hosts each and every weekday. Out today.
Does the music come at the end or while she's talking normally?
I don't know. Doesn't I kind of like that porn intro, well, though.
Yeah.
Normally,
it's good.
She reads that thing.
Yeah.
Then you do the music. Then you start reading the names.
Oh, I know, but we talked. I wanted her to read the game.
I know. So that's okay.
Why don't you just keep doing the music while I read it?
I can't.
And it gives the sexy.
It's
the
sexy
too
spin sexy. But,
to Etrian Odyssey, because that's a sexy game.
That's right. But there's only a few on the list that I saw today, so lay it on us, baby.
All right. So, first off, we do have Etrian Odyssey for the 3DS. And then we have The Path of Modus for Nintendo Switch. The Book of Unwritten Tales 2, also for Nintendo Switch, and Pro Fishing Simulator for PS4 and Xbox One. That's pretty sexy.
Yeah, I guess. Not a lot of big releases coming out today, but if I missed anything, be sure to head over to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. We'll make sure to pick those up. And I am reading chat. I've seen the show. I've done the show before, but like there's all these segues, and you know how we do it here. We do it live.
It is.
There's two musical segues.
There's a couple, yeah. There's obviously the Roper Report and this one.
Yeah, so it's two.
I know. Did I say there was one?
Well, you said there's all these.
That's two.
The two.
But there's segues to the ads.
I'm saying it's not hard to nail two.
Kevin, you're not helping me out here, buddy. You're supposed to be on my side.
Oh, yeah. It's real tough.
Supposed to be on my side. All right, we are going to get to reader mail in a little bit. I think we have some commentary on some really good questions.
Yes.
But first,
yes.
A word from our sponsors. So let's get into that. Our first sponsor is Brooklinen. You spend one third of your life in sheets. It's about the time. It's about time for a bedding upgrade. Greg loves his Brooklinen sheets. He talks about them on this show all the time, and you see them in all his Porty Instagram photos. Brooklinen sheets, was named the winner of the best online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. Founded in early 2014 by husband and wife Vicky and Rich Phillip, their mission was to make five-star quality hotel sheets more affordable and easy to order. Luxury sheets with the luxury markup. Most bedding is marked up as much as 300%.
Wow.
Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world. Over 30,000 five-star reviews. Sheets don't just feel great, but they look great too. Mix and match over 20 colors and patterns. Greg's Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets that he's ever slept on. This was written as I in Greg's words, so bear with me. I know that Greg loves his sheets. And he says, now it's time for you to upgrade. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for his listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. Again, head over to Brooklinen.com and just use the promo code GAMES. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code GAMES, that's plural, G-A-M-E-S, at Brooklinen.com. Again, that's Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen.com with the promo code GAMES. Brooklinen, these are really the best sheets ever.
Yay.
Yeah.
Can I do Headspace?
I want a pair of those, actually. I'm getting sleepy just thinking about it.
I know. I need new sheets. This is great.
Promo code GAMES, Megan. All right, let's move on to our next sponsor, which is Headspace.
Yeah, it's fine.
Headspace is your guide to health and happiness. In fact, just 10 days of Headspace has been proven to reduce stress and increase happiness. It will teach you the life-changing skills of meditation and mindfulness in just a few minutes a day. 3 weeks of Headspace reduced aggression, reactivity to negative feedback by 57%. 10 days of Headspace usage increase happiness by 5%. Headspace has hundreds of meditation sessions on everything from stress to sleep. There are SOS exercises for meltdown moments and mini meditations for busy days. You will be guided every step of the way by Headspace co-founder Andy Puddicombe, who spent 10 years training as a monk. Guided exercises to help you add a touch of mindfulness to daily activities like cooking, commuting, eating, and more. Starting your journey towards a healthier, happier life by subscribing to Headspace. Sign up now at headspace.com/games to get a free month's trial. Sign up online at headspace.com/games for a free month trial and start meditating today. I know a lot of people who are into the mindfulness scene. I know some people who are just huge proponents in the Twitch community and so on, and they talk about life-changing sort of experiences when you really concentrate and take part in this.
Yeah.
So I definitely think it's worth checking out. If you have stress in your life, you want to find different forms of happiness, it's worth a shot. But I know a lot of people who it's changed their life to get into this idea of being mindful, getting inside your headspace and taking a moment to be like, wait, you know, how do I feel right now?
Yeah, I like that there's like a whole SOS exercise for meltdown moments and mini meditations for your super busy days. It sort of covers everything that you need in this very hectic go, go, go world. So
that's right. So be sure to check it out. And thank you very much to our sponsors. So, okay, let's move on and get into some reader mail. We're going to cover Anthem to start things off.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to have a pretty big chat about this one because I'm excited about Anthem. I know it sounds like you are, but let's get into it. The first question came from Parker Petroff and says, hello, Fran and Megan. Last weekend, the falters EA had during the Anthem VIP demo weekend was major news. However, this weekend, the open demo opened to everyone and they had no major issues, yet no reports or articles on how they seemingly fixed the problems. If games media is going to report when things are wrong, is it not only fair to report when they get it right? As if someone is only casually following the news, for all they know, Anthem is still broke. Sort of suggesting that if you only follow this major news, you might think, oh, it's totally broken. That's what people buy into. Peter Parker. Parker Petrov went on to say, how do gaming media outlets balance what is and isn't news? What responsibility do you feel that an outlet has to report an update to the state of a game they've previously reported? So, you know, I think there's a certain viewpoint on who did and didn't cover this. But what do you think of the question in general? Does the media do a bad job of this, of balancing it out? Do they only report on the negative stuff? Or do you think that they actually do? And maybe Peter Parker here is really broken. Missed it.
Last
what?
Week.
It was, and I have a lot really to say about broken. It. But this question first is on reporting the news. Do you think that the media in general, you know, assuming he's talking about us and GameSpot and IGN, Kotaku, it's easy to report on the negative stuff. Do we do a good job of balancing it out?
Well, I mean, are you going to click on an article that says everything is fine in the Anthem demo? Or are you going to click on like what's going on with the Anthem demo? Is this worth my time? How do I get around issues, et cetera, et cetera? I know what he's asking, but I'm kind of like, you have to think of it from the news point of view, which is people don't click on everything is fine.
Yeah. So I've been doing this for 2 decades, basically. Obviously, I moved on to do more running the video stuff at IGN, but news is in my blood. I've had to deal with balancing this stuff out. I think absolutely your commentary is right, Parker. If you're going to go out there and be like, the VIP demo was completely broken, it failed expectations. I played the private demo, which was awesome, and you pulled the wool over my eyes, and then you launched this demo, and it doesn't work. I'm sitting in the menus, right? That could be one version of the editorial that I move out with. As soon as they bring that next update, I would say on day one, you should be on the hook for going back and updating that article. That article shouldn't just sit there unupdated. So I don't actually know if folks did or did not update the article. I think it's easy to forget in this fast-paced world that you just move on to the next story.
Right.
And to your point, open demo is working better. You know, I don't know if that's the right headline.
Also, I had issues with the servers this weekend. So there could be that it's not entirely fixed. I don't think it sounds like it was bad, really bad before. Some people didn't have as much trouble, but I did struggle. So to be fair to news outlets, I think there are still a little bit of jankiness issues. Yeah. And maybe that's why they didn't like update and be like, everything is A-okay now.
But truth be told, I don't know who did and didn't cover the updates. I think the question is valid, and we have to be very careful as the media to make sure to cover this stuff, because we are informing purchases or people are sitting on their pre-orders. Yeah. I knew a lot of people who are terrified because of the way that the VIP demo was. Mm-hmm. Now, the open demo worked better, but I can tell you I had numerous, you know, end mission crashes. I still had load-in issues, but not nearly. I mean, it was like rubber banding and broken in the VIP demo. They made a ton of fixes for this one. And so one other thing, you know, we can move into maybe talking a little bit about what we thought of the job that they did on the demo. But they fixed a lot. And what I'm reminding people is that, look, they actually can't spend a lot of time on the open demo. Reading chat, I think they brought up some really good points as well that, like, why didn't they call it a beta? Didn't help the situation.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have mattered that much. Mm-hmm. I think it would help you justify that it's not a VIP demo. I think that was a mistake to call it that when it wasn't ready.
Right.
So definitely on EA's part, they made some mistakes there. But what I can say is I played, I probably played 40 hours of both demos.
Wow.
I already burned through a ton. The open demo was markedly better. They actually did an event yesterday. I don't know if you saw this. They did a live in-world event. They launched a storm, stormy skies, and launched some new characters into the free play world. So it wasn't like Fortnite, as I understand it, where they like live a storm shows up.
Right.
But I think that's what they're leaning towards.
They're leaning towards that.
And they said that this was just like a little bit of what's to come. So I don't want to get too far off track on that, but they've made a lot of improvements. It is looking a lot better. But I'll just go back and remind what I said. You can't focus a ton on these demos, even though it informs your purchase, because there's a completely different final code base, right? Mm-hmm. That they're finishing the game. And I mean, you're pretty familiar with that, Megan. You've seen it. IGN, we've been covering sometimes the final code while the demo's out there.
Right.
And we can't tell you.
You can't say anything.
Yeah. So the problem with this game is it's online. So even if you could, like, there's nowhere to play this online in a open, you know, environment where you can say, trust me, all this stuff is fixed, because we have to get there. I also read recently, and it was pretty interesting, that I think the VIP demo, sorry, the VIP launch starts on February 15th if you're an Origin Access Premier member.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to play early if, you know, you're a part of the subscription service.
Right.
Not if you pre-ordered it, by the way. So to really play early, yeah, you have to be a part of that. But day one patch doesn't come until the full
day
launch.
Day one, yeah.
On day one. So you're not really going to get, who knows, some of those fixes. So I'm a little worried about, are we going to go out with the Premier members experiencing something that maybe isn't quite in the shape that it's going to be like a week later. And so,
right. That's true. I did like your note about it's up to journalists and people reporting the news that you do have to do a little update at the start of these articles. It doesn't take a lot of time. And it is fair. I didn't have huge problems with the Anthem demo, but there were, like, I was in the Tyrant Mine, I think it's called.
Yes.
And I kept having those animation crashes. And
this
I was like,
weekend?
Yeah.
Yes. So it was very common to get kicked out of the experience. If you're in chat and if you're listening, if you're wondering, should I buy it? What I would say, if you're at that point and you haven't already pre-ordered it, wait. Yeah, like you can decide on day one. Another option is, I think it's part of the Origin service. They do have the option to do a $15 for, I forget how long it is. Maybe it's a month. It's a month. So you can actually get the game and the service. I think you get all their games for that $15 entry fee. And then you can like actually play the game and decide.
Yeah.
So, and I think you get a discount later if you decide that you want it. It could be a way to approach it on day one if you're not sure. Otherwise, wait. You know, wait and see if you're not in that big of a hurry.
And to be fair, what I was able to play, I played 2 or 3 hours worth this weekend, and I had fun.
Yeah, I think that the game has a ton of potential. There's a lot of questions about the end game. We were just talking about Division and how far they've come. They are now on a full-fledged sequel. They've had years of balancing. You heard from the creative director about choices that they're like, you know what? We got to pull back on the DLC. We got to pull back on this because we got to focus on the future. And they saw that. And I think they did a good job of tackling it. I guarantee you that Anthem is going to go through that. I do think that they learned a lot from the mistakes of others. Years now of Destiny and Division and
right,
they've learned a lot. And I know that they take the end game seriously. I've actually seen a little bit of the end game, but
This is developed by BioWare too, right?
Yeah.
So it should have a very rich and rewarding story. That's kind of the hook for me, is that, all right, but the story is what I'm really super curious about.
Yeah, and that's exactly another way to look at it. I think there's going to be some people that they do just kind of want to plow through the story. Who knows if it's 50 hours or I'm making it up. BioWare has been known to craft some pretty solid stories. There's the lead producer was talking about it on Twitter. There's a lot of stuff that's in the game story-wise. There's a lot of people to talk to in Fort Tarsus. So I think it's a beautiful world. I see the potential for falling in love with the world, but is there enough there to chew on and does it work well?
Right.
It is still a big question. I mean, I was loading into the open demo and I'm like, that's what I kept telling myself. I'm like, well, they can't like focus on this too much because they're focusing on the final game. I had audio dropouts.
Oh, I did too.
Which was crazy. It really ruined the immersion of playing some of these levels.
It happened during a live stream I was doing, and I was like, people can still hear me. What happened to the game? So I went into settings. I was like, all right, what did I push? And I was like, no, sound is just
gone. Yeah, I had full dropout, exactly, where you have to restart the console. So there's like some really big bugs that, you know, I think they've talked about that they're fixing, but it is a bit of a wait and see. So look, some of the news is good is that there is that full launch for Premier members. And if you're not part of that, you already have a full week of some people getting in there, playing it as a limited base, even if it doesn't have day one patch. But I think they're going to do a lot with that and see how much they slip into that final day one patch. And I honestly am hoping it's good. I've got no attachment, you know, to whether the game succeeds or not, but I love the sci-fi fantasy world and the feeling flying around in that game is just incredible.
Yes, I do love me some javelin jetpacking.
Oh yeah, bar none. I just have never played, I don't even know how to refer to it. It is more of an ability-based flying action RPG. It is not as much of a shooter. Of course you shoot a ton. I play both mouse and keyboard games and I play on console. And I can tell you that I really recommend to people, like, do not play mouse and keyboard. If you really need to aim that precisely, cool, I get it. But it's not a PvP shooter. It's not coming with PvP, as far as we know. And just feeling it, I really encourage you to try that out. If you didn't try in the open demo, you actually missed out on just feeling how it feels to boost off, right?
Yeah.
I think it's the best part of the game.
I do, too. I think that's the selling point, is you're basically just running around in a mech, and it's got jetpacks.
Yep.
And you've got all sorts of cool skills and abilities.
So I'm reading in chat, the snowman in Twitch chat says, the flying does not feel good, you're lying.
Slash, you're wrong.
Each to their own. Kevin, did you get a chance to check out Anthem?
Yeah, I actually played it in the VIP thing. I didn't get a chance to play it this weekend because I was sick at home.
Yeah.
But yeah, the flying felt really good. I had a lot of issues with the rubber banding. Like, it just...
Now,
it made
with
it
that VIP or even
yeah,
with...
Yeah, no, I'm saying yes. With VIP.
Yeah, they fixed all of that.
That's what I heard, but didn't get
you
a chance
sick.
To play it. But yeah, the flying felt really, really cool.
Yeah, honestly, it really does. And I'm not going to say, like, you don't have to enjoy the flying, by the way. I'm not going to call you out. And if you didn't like it,
I will call you out. What's wrong with you?
But what I would say is, with all the little bugs, and if you did try on mouse and keyboard, I would say, I think the flying does not feel good at all on mouse and keyboard. They know that. They're actually working on these day one patches trying to fix it up.
It's like you weren't supposed to play that way.
Yeah, it's like it's not ready yet. You know, it's definitely tuned for consoles, and I think the flying really feels amazing in that sense. Somebody else, Foxy in chat, had been talking. Foxy Steve says, you can't lone wolf this game at all, can you? Megan, did you get to try much lone wolfing?
I actually did do a little lone wolfing, and it is tough, but I lone wolf a lot of these types of games. Yeah. Like, there are games like Borderlands, you're not really supposed to lone wolf, but I learned how to do it. So there was one quasi boss that I was taking on by myself. It was tough.
Yep.
But I got it on a live stream, so I got video proof that I was able to take that thing on. I did a lot of running and gunning. I ran around screaming and just picking away at it, but it works.
Here's what I will say about it. I've tried that. I actually played Near Final Code on the private server as well. Now, granted, who knows what they did since I played it weeks ago, but it was a later version, and I went into a hard mode on my own. Granted, I was still like level 10 to 15, just like the demo.
Right.
And I was kind of getting crushed, and it did not feel rewarding to play on my own. It felt like I did need to bring people in.
It's a lot more fun playing with people,
and
for sure.
And honestly, there's combo setups in the game that you're going to be working together to get.
Yeah.
So you're right. It's a lot like Destiny in that sense. You can go into the world of Destiny and play on your own, but it's just not meant for that. And so there's a lot of matchmaking in it. And honestly, they're going to have a lot of work to do there. I think this is where a lot of folks are going to come in and expect a BioWare game, and just they want to do the story, and they're like, oh, I got to go to free play, and I keep like this random isn't with me, or who knows? Remains to be seen, but I do think it's going to be a challenge for them on that.
I don't know. As somebody who doesn't normally like randos, I had no problems this weekend. It was fine. I had a cool team. I'm sorry we got bounced out of one of the missions, like on the final fight, and it was like, oh, I wanted those experience points. I wanted my rewards.
Yeah, but I'm excited about it. It was my most anticipated game of 2019, and it still is, to be quite honest.
So, I'm still looking forward to it.
But there's a lot of questions to be answered. Mm-hmm. So let's go back to this Respawn stuff. Malcontent Ronan wrote in and said, as much as I want to talk about... Oh, sorry, we're not talking about Respawn. as much as Malcontent Ronan wants to talk about this new game, Apex Legends from Respawn... The more exciting news was what we touched on, Microsoft bringing Xbox in some form to mobile and apparently Switch. Breaking down the barriers between consoles is the last step in finally progressing the console market. To be perfectly frank, there is little point in investing billions into a platform just to lock it behind an expensive box. So I have to ask, can you imagine a world where an Xbox game, still exclusive to and sold through the Xbox Store, is accessible from a non-Microsoft device? It's the same way iTunes can be on Windows or the Epic Store can take on Steam. You're meant to have multiple storefronts on any device. I would admittedly love nothing more for consoles to finally admit they have been PCs all along. Malcontent wrote it. I didn't read that part until right then. Megan, what do you think of this concept that, like, is that the way it should be, is what they're saying?
I mean, I don't know. On the one hand, again, that accessibility, that convenience is a good thing. I do think that's a step towards the future. On the other hand, why would I want to launch the Xbox Live Store from my Switch? I don't get it.
Well, but I mean, I actually think the point is valid. We're caught in this world of exclusivity. You know, you run into it even on technically other ways on your phones, you know,
like right.
You have Siri or you have Google. What is the talk service on that one? I forget. Hey, Google, you know.
Alexa? Then
you've got Alexa. I'm on iOS, but you know what I'm saying. Like, you do have exclusive services like iTunes and the App Store.
Right.
There's exclusivity because they're trying to sell the hardware.
Right.
Unfortunately, I would say that's just the world you're going to live in. That's why I'm a little confused at the Microsoft announcement. I don't think it's getting to the point that, like, they just bought all these studios, you know, Ninja Theory as an example, who are bringing these exclusive games to Xbox services. Mm-hmm. They need to sell stuff. sure, they're going to get a share of revenue and stuff like that. But like, I don't think we're going to just come to some world where it's like, yeah, you can play Sea of Thieves on any platform you want because it just works. I mean, Nintendo's going to take a share of what Microsoft sells on its platform.
That's probably true.
Right?
So why would it?
Why wouldn't it, or why would it?
No, why would it? Like, why couldn't you just buy it on the store, like on your phone, and send it to your whatever device?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there are ways around it. But look, at the end of the day, whether you're PlayStation or Nintendo or whatever, you want to sell that hardware. You also license your platform and you take a cut of that. It's just the business model. I don't think we're completely getting away from it, but I do see a world where maybe in working together, certain games, back catalog stuff, right?
Right.
Like, why not go in the back catalog? Those are the ones that, like, they're not really selling that much anymore. Why not bring them to Switch? Maybe that's what the news is, right?
Maybe.
Like,
that's
can I go back and play Halo? Maybe that's the piece that we're missing here, is it's older catalog stuff.
Maybe yeah. Nothing happens, you know what I mean?
So, we'll see. let's check in on kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. I was told that I got to watch very carefully, as sometimes people are saying there's certain news stories.
Bunch of liars in here.
There's a bunch. I never said that.
I did.
Let's see. Drewski. Oh, good catch. Drewski 2K. What a great name for this correction. Said during the 2K story, Fran, you said Visceral develops NBA 2K. It's actually Visual Concepts. Yeah, 100%. I completely was thinking about Dead Space. I think Kevin.
We were talking so much about Dead Space. So there you go.
Thank you very much to
Drewski. How dare
Drewski.
You blame me for it?
God, how do you read these headlines in this format? It's tough.
If you click it, it puts it up in the middle section.
This is just a note from Ryan T. from Tennessee. He said, hey, host, a heads up on the headlines. Pear from IGN tweeted a while back that negative headlines had a huge uptick in readers compared to positive headlines. Yeah, I mean, that's a fact.
So it's your fault.
It's what Megan said. It's not a correction, but I wanted to bring it up. Yeah, of course. Gossip mags and of course.
Oh, yeah.
Have you read internet comments? All the negative stuff.
Oh, all the negatives.
It's sad, but
I can't wait for the YouTube comments for this show. I just bring it, bring it. Although, actually, the best friends are really nice. Yeah. You guys are cool.
Yep. Let's see. I don't think this is a correction entirely, but I do want to read it. I think it comes way of the nanobiologist said per EA's Anthem ways to play chart, only EA Origin Premier Scribers. PC only can play February 15th. Origin Access Basic PC and EA Access. We'll have to double check on that. Can't you be a subscriber and play on console? It's funny. It's a really good point. I'm so like in the PC world, it didn't even occur to me that like, can you play without the client, which of course is on PC?
Right.
Can you? Because you can't be a subscriber on those other platforms, can you?
Maybe they're
letting me know in
question.
Chat.
That's a question. I don't know. Chat.
Right now.
To the rescue.
Eberstar says that EA chart is BS.
And oh.
People are, I will say, people are just flat out confused at the rollout for Anthem. I would have a lot more to say on that, but I think they're splitting the market a little bit.
Yeah,
we had another write-in on this as well. And I'm just double checking. Yeah. Check the ways to play. EA does have a chart and it's confusing. I think that's part of the problem here. Is there so many ways to play this. So
yeah, I'm trying not to wade into it too much because I'm like, I don't want to say something wrong.
Yep.
/ you're wrong. Kind of funny.
Let's see.
What else we got? What else we got?
Just double checking. Again, I was warned not to read everything in case there's something there. I think we forgot to talk about Squad Up, but that's because we didn't have any today. So make sure if you're out there, make sure to write in. Or if I did miss it, I apologize. But in the form that I have, there wasn't anything today. So it's wide open for tomorrow. So make sure to get out there and check it out. Thanks, everybody, for participating today. Kid22 says, Xbox has EA Access, PS4 doesn't. So again, check your facts. Check the ways to play for Anthem. There's a lot of different ways. And before I wrap things up, I just want to make sure. Kevin, did I miss anything? It's my second time hosting the show.
No, I think you're nailing it.
Thanks,
we're all
dude.
Proud of
yay!
You.
So good job,
I'm trying,
man.
Everybody. I'll tell you the segues and everything. I still gotta make sure that I nail one note tomorrow.
Maybe next time bring your laptop, you know?
Nobody wants to see my giant laptop.
They
like
love
last
the
time.
Kids.
They
love
the
laptop.
Big laptop.
They love your laptop.
It gives me like
all
back
the
problems.
Comments were like, "Oh, it's a great laptop."
You missed it, Meg. It literally the laptop.
No,
was
no,
like,
I saw it. I was watching
was like
the show.
It was like up to here. It was like having.
It was amazing.
It's amazing.
It was a great visual for the show. You definitely
great
have
visual.
To bring it every time
I
you host.
Yeah. I play with power.
That has to be, hashtag giant laptop.
Yep.
Fran top.
That's right. The Fran top. We'll work on that. Tomorrow is Tim and Snowbike Mike on the show. Make sure to tune in for that.
Whoa.
Before we sign off, though, I want to make sure people know where to catch us. Megan, starting with you, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at MEGHAN_IGN. And you can find me on Instagram at Celtic_Queen_Meg.
Celtic Queen Meg on
Instagram? And I'm Celtic Queen on the Twitch channel. I'll say hi.
Yeah, also, there you go. She's in chat on Twitch right now, so make sure you join us there sometime. Also on Twitch is your boy, FM3_. You can find me today, probably talking a lot about this Respawn news. So again, I can't say much, but more on that. Please think about supporting us on these other platforms, twitch.tv/FM3, and Megan on the mini places. What? How's that being a coward? All right, we're done with today's show. Kevin, what is up next?
Internet Explorers
is up next, so get excited, stay with us, and Megan, it has been a pleasure seeing you.
Been a pleasure.
We'll catch you all next time.
All right. Good game. See you later, guys.